Hello, and welcome to episode 288 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you've found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, George, Sandy, Lindsay, and Donna. Now that our state governments are starting to relax the restrictions on businesses and gatherings, we're starting to see a light at the end of the tunnel. Summer is right around the corner, and we are looking at getting away now more than ever. Some may do local travel to places within driving distance of our homes, but some will be flying to more exotic destinations, otherwise known as not Pittsburgh. Flying will be quite a bit different than what we have become accustomed to before the coronavirus, but what will that be like? So we thought we would pontificate on what we think that might mean. So let's get started.
Pontificate?
Yes, we're going to pontificate. Do you know what that word means, Sandy?
We're getting out this big dictionary.
Let's pontificate.
She's like, is that a pontoon boat in Pittsburgh?
So I think there's some obvious things that we can all expect will be the case. And I think the number one thing is sanitizing stations. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're going to be scrubbing everything down.
I think masks are going to be the thing.
Yeah, I was going to get to that next because that's obviously a very controversial, well, it's not obviously a very controversial topic, but apparently it is a very controversial topic. So, but for sanitizing, are we thinking like hand sanitizing stations, like what they have on cruise ships, basically?
I think it might actually go a step further than that. I read that article in Forbes that I posted in the group said something about walking through like a tunnel, like a fumigation tunnel type of thing, to sanitize people, and then having your bags also be like UV scanned or something as well too.
So that sounds like checking for bed bugs. Does that, I don't know. We don't have any doctors on this podcast.
We don't have any doctors.
I can tell you all about bed bugs, but that's
okay. That's true. But like, does UV light, like, is that something that can be killed, that can kill the coronavirus?
Not that or? I've heard. No.
I don't know. The article said something about high intensity UV scanners. And from what I read about one doctor that did post about it was saying that the UV light needed to do it would not be safe for people.
I was going to say, that does not sound like this. That sounds like what I've been avoiding ever since I was 16. And
that's like for the bags, but the fumigation would be something else. It would be like, I'm trying to find the exact wording.
A Lysol mist or something. I don't know.
It says travel bubbles or tunnels for disinfection.
That sounds really Jetsons to me. Like you go through a little walkway and it sprays you down.
It's like Epcot. Yeah, I know.
I mean, if it could kill a lot of odors and things, I'm not necessarily.
I'm not opposed to it.
It takes actually showering people.
I guess that's the thing is, I suppose if this is something, some sort of technology, and that's, there's a lot of things we'll talk about tonight that are these technologies that I'm like, is this like a thing? Like, if this is something that exists, why aren't we doing it already?
Right? Well, if you've ever read a can of Lysol, which I have when I was bored, you have to spray the surface and wet it. You know, it has to stay wet for 30 seconds or something like that. It's not like you would just walk through. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of.
Well, they do have, and you know, remember Robbie was on our podcast a few weeks ago, and he was talking about these misters that they're using now that are like this high intensity, but they do that when nobody's on the plane. Now, I've also been on planes, especially in other countries, where they sort of fumigate once everybody's on board, but I believe that's also for...
That is what they're doing in New York City. They're shutting down the subways for 4 hours every night and fumigating them like that. So, but I don't know. I mean, I can see doing it between flights when people aren't on the plane.
Which is what they're doing now.
Yeah, but I don't know about...
Well, and that article talked about that too, like longer turnaround times. Mm-hmm. We've kind of become very used to the efficiency and the quickness with which we can get one place in the world to another. And I don't know if you remember that old movie, Boeing, Boeing, where they were just with Jerry Lee Lewis, and he had a girlfriend in every in every airline. You had a stewardess from every airline. And then all of a sudden this new fast Boeing came out and their turnaround time improved so much that he was getting busted. All his girlfriends were in town at the same time. It's a really cute movie. It's on streaming. It's an older movie, very campy. But yeah, I think we're going to go back a little bit in our ability to do that, to flip things around. They're going to need time to clean it. We're not going to see all these routes that we've seen, probably again for a while. Everything I'm reading is pointing toward it might be a slow easing back into that. But so that's one thing.
It's going to be all those things. I think it's going to be the hand sanitizing stations in the airport. I think it's going to be the staff are constantly going to be cleaning. They're going to have to hire more janitorial staff to take care of service areas, to take care of gates. There are going to be a lot more people on planes actually, cleaning. I think it's going to be a multi-step approach to handle everything.
One of the other things they talked about was a lot of touchless stuff, moving toward a lot of do-it-yourself where things aren't manned and a lot of touchless things. And even they did even briefly mention like Heathrow and Shanghai and airports such as Heathrow, JFK and Singapore will include exclusive use of online check-ins and contactless payments, according to the World Travel and Tourism Council.
Which is lovely because, and it's funny as you think about travel, and I'm old enough that I remember paper tickets. I remember that weird transition where sometimes you had a paper ticket and sometimes you didn't. And there was a disastrous trip that Chris and I took where I lost our tickets twice because I just wasn't used to having them anymore. But there were a few airlines that were hanging on. And actually, sometimes it was type of ticket. So some people on the airplane would be ticketless and some of them, or e-ticket, I should say, and some of them would have paper. But then we've moved to these touch screens. And so you walk up an airport where everybody's touching their luggage, which is probably who knows. And then you're touching this touch screen and you're touching your phone and then you're touching the touch screen again. It's a wonder that we haven't all died already. Like
exposure to random.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of glad. And the videos I'm seeing of how planes are actually doing the cleanings between passengers is really like they're getting in and they're wiping down the armrests. And I'm like, yeah.
That's awesome because I don't know how many times I've put the tray table down and it's sticky.
Yes. And all those people who, you see the videos of people with a bare foot up in their space because, it's like, people are putting their feet on the backs of chairs and that's the tray you eat off of. And yeah. So I don't know. That's not a bad thing. Let's wipe down that stuff.
Forbes talked about an airline strategy firm simplifying. And a report that they did where they're like what you're talking about, there's over 70 different areas in the passenger's journey that are going to be directly impacted and they're going to have to change or be reintroduced from scratch. And they talk about having the bags sanitized after going through fogging or electrostatic or UV disinfectation to restore confidence in flying after COVID-19. But that's going to be a major technological upgrade for a lot of these airports. I mean, and like if you're thinking about some of the places you've flown into.
And you said some key words there. Restore confidence. So in other words, you're going to put this through a mister. It's going to be some smoke and a few mirrors and you're going to feel like you've been disinfected.
You think this is a little bit of security theater?
Yeah.
Don't you
think? Yeah, because look how long we've gone with being able to touch everything. And, it sounds gross now when we really think about it, but, and the reality is you need germs to build up your immunity anyway. Mm-hmm. And so most people, they'll go back to it. I am looking forward to more water bottle filling stations that are touchless.
I don't think touchless, yeah, but I don't think you're going to see any more of them if you've got to touch anything on there.
A lot of them, though, are like you put the water bottle and the water starts flowing.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll see water fountains though.
Oh yeah, I think maybe. What do you guys think about like they also said like what you can expect? No cabin bags, no lounges, no automatic upgrades, face masks, surgical gloves. We kind of talked about that. self-check-in, self-bag drop, immunity passports, and on-the-spot blood tests and sanitation disinfection tunnels.
So, first of all, I stopped reading that article at no upgrades. That is not okay. So, I am now in full denial on that. But I will say, I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think airlines need more than ever to reward frequent flyers. That's hard to say. But I do think, and a lot of what they were talking about, although recently there's been an incident where they haven't done this, but they're saying that they're going to X off the middle seat, that it won't be available, and that upgrades are going to be done at the gate, not ahead of time. So normally, if you get an upgrade, it's done 24 hours before, like when you do check-in, so that when you check in, you know you have your upgrade. And now they're saying they're only going to do them at the gate so that they can place people, so they can move people around so that there isn't a middle seat. The thing is, apparently, they're not blocking the seats on the plane. So if they sold enough seats where they have to use the middle seats, because just the day of this recording, they came out with this United Airlines flight that was flying doctors back from New York to California. And either they figured, well, they've all been working in a COVID unit, so let's just stick them all close together. But they packed that plane. Packed it. Every seat was full.
I think that might have been an exception.
Well, Southwest was saying, their CEO was on the news the other morning, and they were saying that they're not necessarily blocking the middle seat. Because if you have a family of, like, four people or three people or five people or whatever, you've all been together anyway, so you can sit together depending on how you want to configure it. If you want to sit in the middle seat, then sit in the middle seat. But they're going to try and space different families with space in between.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder if we're really going to see no pre-seat assignments. And they may have this is all theory. There's no fact in this whatsoever. But just from a logical perspective, it would make sense to say, all right, you buy a spot on the plane and you can buy a level, you know, extra leg room or whatever, but you can't actually pick your seat. You can express a preference, but kind of like a hotel room, we'll put you where we can. And then they literally assign the seats when people show up for the flight.
I think that's probably what a lot of them will have to do in order to be able to space things out and keep things safe and keep families together. They have the other issue that they're going to have to solve is that mad crush of people who stand in front of the gate, you know, Z or whatever that's up there in A, B, C, D through Y can't get through because.
Yep. Well, and the people who think that COVID is a hoax are going to be pushing, you know, they're like, yay, I'm the first one on the plane.
So they're going to have to widen those areas and they're probably going to have social distance measures in place, which I can only assume is so much fun to do during your Costco run or wherever you're going for groceries. This is going to be 100 times more interesting at the airport.
Well, they did say that they were thinking about instead of calling by a group, they're actually calling your number.
Yeah. Okay. That would make more sense.
And they would be seating you by number. So, you know, if you're in F or 26F, you can't go up until they call 26F.
But in the meantime, you're all still in the same area waiting. And that's kind of what I'm wondering is how are they going to, they're going to have a way to spread everyone out.
Why is everybody waiting? Mm-hmm. They're all waiting because they're too cheap to check their bags and they all want to carry them on and they all want overhead space. So the airline says there are no carry-ons. Everything gets checked. Mm-hmm. And then there's no reason for anybody to stand at the gate trying to swarm it like it's general admission at a Stones concert.
George says with an authority of experience. Well, so you got a concert story for us, George.
Well, I think that's right. And as much as I hate it, I do think that's a possibility because I do think that too, all those bags are, other than a reason for people to push to the front, is germ carriers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're bringing it from your home. They've been sitting around, their cloth. If we're thinking that cloth can be, can hold these viruses, that's all they are. So why not put them under the plane? Makes me so
sad.
Well,
I can see that, but I mean, for me, when I fly, I carry my laptop, which, you know, I'm really afraid it would get broken and cracked if it got checked. And then also when I go for diving, I carry my scuba mask. And I even got weight checked once. They're like, you know, this is overweight. And I said, okay, well then I want $1,000 of insurance coverage to cover this bag because I have $1,000 mask and regulator in here. And if anything happens to it, you owe me the money to it. And she's like, oh, I guess we can make sure it, we can allow it that it's a little heavier than it's supposed to be.
I think you'll still be able to carry on a bag like a laptop bag. And as for your scuba gear, sorry. I mean, I honestly think I understand where you're coming from 100%, but I think that this is the new world and yeah. They're going to say you either ship it or you put it under, you insure it, whatever you want to do to ensure that it stays okay, but it's not going on the plane.
Because I've carried jewelry and security flags me like left and right. They're like, what is all this? Because there's a bunch of metal in my yeah. bag. And it's like, and well,
I, but it's... I still say, I mean, you would be able to put your jewelry pouch in your carry on, you know, whatever fits under this.
Oh, seat. I do. But then I get flagged at security. Mm-hmm. So
I think this is going to be another permanent adjustment for all of mm-hmm. us, like 9/11 yep. was. I mean, I remember flying home with alcohol from all over the world and how easy it was. Never had to worry about bottles getting broke and just put them in the old duffel bag and slip them up over the seat and you were good to go and not no more, not ever again. And I think right now we all need to, I mean, I don't know about you, but I am so desperate to travel. I don't care if I have to learn how to do cartwheels and a loop.
I do. I mean, I think that if you're going to be traveling by plane in the next year, you need to plan a day on each end for travel, even if your flight yeah. is 2 or 3 hours. This might make me drive the 10 hours to New York that I refuse to drive, or the 10 hours to Orlando, because I don't want to get on a plane. So I could totally see that happening. That said, I still want to get on a plane, but you have to,
you have to plan,
have to be ready to. So let's talk about masks. Because, you know, obviously there's the thought everybody's going to have to wear these paper masks that it'll be required. But I saw a picture today of, you know, people wearing full PPE, you know, like the full plastic, which actually would be much more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. You know, the headband. You breathe a lot better with the headband and yep. the shield than you mm-hmm. can with. For me, my only fear, and it's only because it's already happened to me once. The first day I put a mask on at the dentist's office, I had an asthma attack. And I still wear it. I'm a responsible citizen. I'm caring for my neighbors. But I will tell you, I've had to run to the bathroom a couple times in a store so I could breathe, because I feel like my upper lip is sweating, like I'm starting to get a little queasy and things are kind of going. And so the thought of like the Bali flight that we took, Donna, I mean, could you imagine doing that with a face mask?
No.
I would have had to take bathroom breaks to breathe. There's just there, like that's the reality of it is I think finding a comfortable mask for you, one that's breathable, because a lot of these, God bless all these people making these cloth masks, but some of them are way too thick and they're not, you're not getting any oxygen and you're getting the carbon monoxide back. It's not getting out. And so that's going to be pick your mask wisely before your flight.
Yeah, but if they'll let you fly with that, with the face shield, that is totally doable. And then they're talking about putting plastic in between the seats as well. Again, I think they're talking about it. I don't know if it'll happen. I mean, I've even seen diagrams of them turning people to face each other. So
here's my thing about the plastic. They showed like an article about a lady in a restaurant who did this in between the booths. And right at first I was like, oh, that's a great idea. And then I was like, do you know what a germ collector that's going to be? And are you going to scrub it in between every single person? And then it's going to keep the heat in, right? And it's going to keep the airflow. And your airflow on a plane is already, it is.
They're like plastic shields that are maybe the size of a really like a dinner platter, like a platter, like a serving platter.
Okay. So they're not full floor to ceiling.
No,
they're just over your head
out from the seat. Yeah, exactly. It's not, and it doesn't even, it's not a bubble. It's just on either side of you. So it just gives you a little bit more privacy from the person beside you, even though they're clear. And so all it would take is an alcohol wipe down to clean it.
Like they're doing. You could even like put your pillow up there and mm-hmm. rest your head. Your pillow against it.
Yep.
And it's going to have to be something you can easily get around, because you still, I mean, the reality is these planes are not that big. Yeah. That area to get in and out of those seats is pretty small.
None of it sticks out further than the armrest. So it's all, yeah. So, and it's not even that far what in the diagrams that I've seen. And again, this is all theoretical because nothing's been built yet. But, you know, even looking at the ones where they've turned the seats to, so like each seat is facing the other one, which is somehow safer. They have these plastic shields in between. And honestly, I've flown before in like first class, and they have a shield there. And if you don't know that person, they'll leave the shield up and it's not clear. It's, you know, it's a solid one, mm-hmm. but they can pull it out. It's like a, you know, like a, I don't even know how to describe it, like a plate in old photographs, you know, where you pull it out of the slot mm-hmm. and it just comes right out. So I don't think that would be a very difficult thing to do. I have no idea how expensive.
I think I would rather have that than the alternating seats, because then you're coughing in someone's face.
Alternating seats are ridiculous. No.
I don't understand. Yeah, I do not understand the logic behind why that's better, except for that you might be further away from the person who's sitting in front of you facing you.
But you're projecting towards them.
Well, the person in the middle.
Well, you're looking at them. That's weird.
So. The person in the middle seat can actually have their own armrests.
Yes. Well, and if it was my kid, it would be fine. I mean, like, I think that there are times where that could work. So I guess if you're blocking middle seats or doing things like that, then it could make sense. But yeah, it's hard to imagine, because we're so used to flying being a certain way. And I think that I'm hearing us all do it. It's like, but when I do this, I have to do this. So they can't do that. It's like, we have to start thinking about flying differently. They can yes. do that, and they will do that in order to keep you safe. And it's just it's totally different. Yeah.
So I got an email from Delta that said they were going to be boarding people in the back of the plane first.
Yes.
Which makes so much more sense anyway.
That's been something we've wanted forever.
Well, and I think that's what Donna was sort of alluding to as well. And George, with the like waiting around, they're just going to call your seat. Yeah. And I know there was a time where they did that.
Rows yeah, I remember that.
10 through 16, you're right. Now boarding. Yeah. So.
It just makes so much more sense, and you're not fighting with any. You're not bumping everybody on the plane as you board, hitting right. everybody. Well, of course, you're not going to have a bag to do that with anymore. But you're still not. You don't have to do that walk of shame past everyone in first class.
Well, I bet they'll still load those people first.
I do think they might still do that. I'm curious about that. And well, and it brought up the, you know, so one of the points of having the extra legroom seats at the front, Comfort Plus, is so that you can get your carry-on bag on. And people started complaining, well, if they load from the back of the plane, then that means the people in the front won't get to bring their bags on. Well, they might not get to bring their bags on anyway. So
I think that article did say no more bags. Yeah. So that you're probably right. They're so germ filled. There's no way really for them to.
I had kids, so we always sat in the back of the plane anyway, because the drone of the engines would put my kids right out.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot, and those are the seats that they usually hold back for families in case families don't get seated together, so that they can seat them together. So, but again, all those things that we know, that's the thing. We've spent all this time getting to know how airlines work, and they're going to change it all, at least for a little while.
How expensive do you think it's going to get if they're not holding the plane? And, you know, you got to think, if they're not going to let you have a carry-on, then people are going to gripe about paying to check a bag. So they're going to have to kind of incorporate that into the price of the ticket. But
they don't have to do anything, Sandy. And
they don't have to. But
I don't think they're going to.
And you're thinking about it in the terms of the old way, too, because the older way was your bags were included. Yeah. That's what they used to do. They charged you more and your bags were included. And people were like, I want to pay less. And they're like, okay. But you're going to have to pay for your bag. So it's just a way to bring the price down so that you feel better about it. You know,
I think prices are going to go up. Mm-hmm. Am I the only one who thinks prices, the air travel is going to get more expensive?
I think that our saving grace right now is fuel is really cheap.
They did say that there's going to be a short time period where people are unwilling to fly, and you can get really cheap flights during that time frame. But as soon as consumer confidence comes back, and they still have those same measures where they have to block out those middle seats and things like that, fuel prices go up because OPEC, you know, controls gas.
But I still think that a lot of those, that consumer confidence, I wonder how much of this will stick. Like, how much of it will be, even with security, and now it's been years. But security in airports, I can't tell you how many times I've been in the regular line before I had TSA pre-check, and they let me go through without taking my shoes off and without taking my laptop out of the bag, just to get you through. Every now and then they would do it. They would have never done that between like 9/11 and probably 2009. But after that, it started loosening up. I don't know how long this is going to take. It depends on vaccines. It depends on these antibody tests, of which there's millions of them that are apparently completely ineffective. But until people feel that it's okay, and that's all people, governments and everything, then, you know, I think it will cause some cost changes. And maybe some things will be permanent. If they put plastic in between each of the seats, maybe that'll be there forever, or at least until they build more planes, you know, until they replace those planes.
So there might be like a... So what you're talking about is something that was kind of like helped along or alleviated in SeaTac big time by all of the bomb sniffing dogs and drug sniffing dogs. And that has made air travel so easy for us, because a lot of times we don't have to do that. We don't have to, because the dogs are there and they just run up and down. But can dogs sniff for a virus? You know?
Apparently ultraviolet light can kill them.
They can sniff out bed bugs, so maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally possible. And it may not matter, because it, like so many other things, like the flu. We travel with the flu, and the flu can kill a lot of people and has killed a lot of people. And I'm not saying the coronavirus is like the flu, but what I'm saying is the flu is very communicable, and you can catch it even if you've had a vaccine or, you know, whatever, but we take that risk every day. Yeah, I mean, George is raising his hand. The world can't
I had
that,
the flu last year, and I had the shot, so
It happens all the time.
Do you guys remember, and I didn't pay a lot of attention when this was going on before, but I know, like, with the H1N1 and SARS and MERS, like, I think that's part of the reason why in some cultures they have been wearing masks forever, you know? And so does anyone know, like, what are some of the changes culturally there that they've just been living with that... Like, is it like one of my friends said, she when she went to Hong Kong, they did temperature checks all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think that kind of stuff is that they're already doing in some Asian countries? Do you think they'll just
start? I think that's something we're definitely going to see. We're definitely going to see the temperature checks. Now, some of the more extreme stuff, like I could see an immunization passport, maybe it's a little scary to think about, but the blood checks. Blood tests at the airport is a little scary to me. Like that, I got to that point in the article and I audibly gasped.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, but the immunization passport, I mean, there's some countries you have to have immunizations to go to anyway. You
know? And honestly, I don't think it's, I mean, it sounds scary, but it really isn't. It's only like one step further than what the passports already are. It's really not, you know, and you have to turn in your immunization record to go to kindergarten. It's not that much against our whole, you know, freedom of whatever.
Everybody I've ever known that did a mission to Haiti had to get all the shots, and our friend Jen who went to Brazil, you know, like there's already people that are doing that. I know my client who went to Southeast Asia last year had to do some shots for, I can't remember which country, but Cambodia, I think. But so.
And I think it will probably be encrypted in some way that, and it may be that some medical information is on there. I'm not sure I'm down with taking a blood test at the airport. That just seems very unsanitary.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's weird. I don't know how you can do it for everybody. I mean, maybe they'll randomly pull people out, but you gotta be like, you gotta be medically trained.
Emirates was doing that, and they had medical personnel in Dubai that they were actually doing blood tests on. Quick tests that basically take about 15 minutes. They were basically, as you checked in, you got a blood test before you could get on the plane.
So it was 15 minutes? Yeah. And then
it was a 15-minute test.
And this is so mind-blowing for those of us who are used to walking off the plane and going to our hotel, because we had our carry-on bags with us, and so it's just, you just have to build that into it, you know, if you want to travel.
Well, this was when they checked in, not when they left.
Well, but still, it's still like, at some point in your travels, you're going to have to do this, and then do you have to do it on the other end when you get to the next country that you're going to? So, yeah, you build it all into your travel. It's... I don't know. It's scary, but at the same time,
it would be the worst way to find out that you have COVID is to like show up in Dubai and they give you like, what am I going to do now? You know? Yeah.
Well, it may be that part of your pre-travel, which, you know, for those of us who pack 2 hours before a flight, I don't know how I would work this into my day, but you might have to go somewhere and get a test before you go and present that as proof before you, you know, go
24 hours before you leave.
It's something, I mean, I'm just throwing out, I've not read that anywhere, but I'm just throwing that out there as something that could happen.
And we should re-clarify that this is all pontification.
This is all pontification.
This is pontification.
And you know what Delta said about loading from the back of the plane.
and they check your eye color. And
yeah. Well, and the other thing about all this is food and beverage. So, like,
I don't think we'll see that again.
At this point, and some airlines are saying that they're still going to do it and that you can remove your mask just to eat and then put it back on. But I think it's just, it makes sense to just not do it. The thing is, people are going to bring food on the plane because there are people, I mean, if your insulin goes wonky, you need food right with you. You know, if you have a kid, you can't.
Oh, you bring snacks.
Yeah, there's no way.
And nobody's doing a long haul flight without something to eat or drink.
Exactly. That was the other thing. It's like, how are they going to serve dinner?
Pass out.
As dehydrated as flying makes you anyway, you have to drink water on a plane. You know, yeah. I mean, I don't take a 2-hour flight without a water bottle.
Did any of you see the little thing going around Facebook with the lady that had the mask on and she had a sandwich and she looked to the right and left and then her mask opened up like a mouth and she took a bite of the sandwich?
There's a guy in the restaurant looking at her.
It was just a funny thing that made me think of like a mask that opens up and you can.
Which of course defeats the purpose. Healthier travel does not advocate. Ironically, this is the year where Delta was changing all their meals over to plated meals. So even for some domestic flights, you would get these hot meals. Now the meal, if they do serve meals, they're going to be boxed. They're not going to be able to serve you a hot meal with knife and fork and all that. They can't do it anymore. So we just got to the point where they're like, we're going to make flying humane again. And it won't be. Not for a while anyway.
Well, I will volunteer to be the guinea pig.
I could also see, you know, not pouring into a cup, but if you, you know, giving everybody a bottle that has a lid. You know, it's small, the little small water bottles or something where you have a lid to put, you know, you take a drink, you put the lid back on.
They are saying that everything would be water bottles, that it would be no more cups. Yeah. So I don't know how you drink coffee. Like, I don't know how some of those things would. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we might not see coffee.
How are we going to have our mixed drinks? I mean,
or sodas, you know.
IV.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be taking your blood anyway. Why not just hook you up?
Just carry in your bag and hang on the pole.
Just carry your fluid. Showing them your paperwork. Your little hospital bracelet scanned.
it's so much to think about because there's just so many things that are so normal. And really, in all of our day-to-day lives, I mean, we see a lot of resistance to these changes already because people don't want, you know, they want their life to be what it always was. And that's just not the way things always work. So I think we're still going to fly. It's going to happen. So it'll be interesting to see.
We're just going to have to change and adapt and move forward. And it's going to be a new adventure.
I was just getting so good at it.
I know.
Just getting it down pat to where I breeze through everything.
My bag was just pretty much packed all the time.
Know what I'm really looking forward to without having carry-ons? Do you know how much easier it will be to get through TSA if no one has a freaking carry-on that they packed some things in there that needed to come out before we went through the scanner and they forgot about and they got to unpack their whole bag right there in front of everybody in the whole line?
That's not going to work for me. Because they lose my luggage all the time. I need a small bag with at least 24 hours worth of materials.
You're going to have to mail your stuff to wherever you're going.
I need 24 hours worth of clothes and toiletries at least for 24 hours.
Like that locker service they have for Orlando. You need that for wherever you go, Donna, and you can just leave like your staples.
I know. Mail myself a package to the hotel.
My aunt actually, like, she would fly Spirit from Pittsburgh to Myrtle Beach, and she would mail her stuff down. Because
you just got Pittsburgh and Myrtle Beach into the podcast.
She's been working on that.
Man, I didn't even hear what you said. You just said Pittsburgh to Myrtle Beach, and I'm like,
she couldn't bring a carry-on, so she would mail her stuff down. Yeah. Or like send it with her daughter who was driving or something like that.
Yeah. I'm seriously considering taking the drive up to New York because I'm like, well, I could take the dog and, you know, I want to go visit my sister and it'll be faster than flying. If I have to go through, you know, all the x-ray machines and the ultraviolet light and, you know, on the plus side, I would not bring any bed bugs with me no matter what. I don't have any, but I'm just saying they'd be all gone. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I have plane tickets to Orlando that still haven't canceled yet. So we'll see if that gets to go, that'll be, you know, and in September. I have to Italy later in the year. That was supposed to be right now as we're speaking. And so we'll see. I mean, I'll fly, but it will be very, very different.
I was thinking, so this is going to have this big of an impact on, this is probably another podcast, but this is going to have this big of an impact on flights. We see a resurgence of train travel in the U.S., but that area is even tinier.
Yeah, I think, I don't know.
They improve that.
I've traveled by train, and the last time I traveled by train, I was surprised that the security was not what flights are, you know, and so I wonder, but.
Well, now it's a train. It can only go where the track goes.
Yeah, you can't fly it in.
You can't fly it into a building or that.
Although there was that, I mean, it was in San Diego just recently, right? Where somebody tried to run the train into the hospital boat, the hospital ship. Sorry, the Navy is like, what did you call it? What did you call her? Sorry. But one of the aid boats somebody tried to derail a train into it. But I mean, I guess that could happen, but people could make a bomb out of anything, really.
It's mostly in Europe, train travel, but it's such a small, tight little area. I would feel safe having my own cabin again, because I've done that a couple times, but I don't know that I would do a commuter, like where you're sitting super close in those seats next to each other. It'll be interesting to see if this has any spillover effect into how train travel is regulated and goes.
Yep. And then car travel.
And then the Greyhound bus. I mean, that's like
that's just,
you know, Greyhound buses are just missing the chickens and the piglet running up and down.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We would love to for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on outlandertravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.